What's up, everybody? We are your internet historians and we're back for season three. Today it's just Lisa and I. Alec is currently moving, or she already moved, but
she's unpacking.
She's unpacking, getting settled into her new home. So we gave her the week off to do that.
Yeah. Please send her some mail. Her address is. Oh my God.
Yeah, she requested some time off and we were nice enough to give it to her. Yeah. But yeah, so in today's episode, we will be discussing the history behind the movie Vice. Governor George W. Bush of Texas picks Dick Cheney, the CEO of Halliburton, to be his Republican running mate in the 2000 presidential election. No stranger to politics, Cheney's impressive resume includes stints as White House Chief of Staff, House Minority Whip, and Defense Secretary. When Bush wins by a narrow margin, Cheney begins to use his newfound power to help reshape the country and the world. So what are your thoughts? Hold on. Actually, I need to pull up my thoughts. I actually wrote them down after I watched the movie because I had a lot of thoughts, I feel like.
Okay. I'll give my thoughts. I'll try to be brief. Okay. I think objectively, it was a good movie. I loved the fact that they took kind of something, and it's recent, right? A lot of us experienced it. So actually a lot of us who are going to watch the movie, were alive when all of this was happening. So I think that taking kind of a time in our lives that wasn't such a great time and giving that comedic twist to it, I think it was a really great move and made it interesting and made you want to watch it. I think the performances by the actors were really, really amazing. I thought that that was one of the best parts of the movie. Subjectively, I did not like it personally. It's just a hard topic for me. That time in my life, I know it's 2001 is when the attacks happened and I was only 9 years old.
But I mean, I remember that time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very vividly.
I remember it being night and day, it being woohoo, life's great, amazing. All of a sudden, bam, things are changing. And then it's the same thing I feel with this pandemic where we're constantly it's going to go back to normal. It's going to go back to normal. This is just temporary. And then one day you realize, guess what? This is our new life now. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a hard thing for me to kind of reflect on, look back on, and on top of it, look through it through a different perspective because I was a child when this happened. So everything I know is a child's point of view. And now seeing it as an adult, it's more frustrating.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I think you pretty much said my exact thoughts pretty much. I have some other little things too, but no, totally. I felt very frustrated watching, like you said, all the acting, all that was really good. It was very comedic and all that stuff. But yeah, I found watching it, I was frustrated the whole time. How do we let people do the things that politicians do all the time? And
one thing that really stuck out to me was at the very, very end when Christian Bale / Dick Cheney said, you chose me. And I was we did. It's technically,
I feel it's all manipulation, all these politicians and
I understand, but
it's so annoying.
He wouldn't have been vice president if he didn't get voted into it. So
yeah, totally, exactly.
When he said that, I was oh my God, that just crushed me even more because yes, it's completely true. He was chosen.
Yeah. I think what the director might've been trying to do by putting that in there too, was kind of just showing the audience your vote type matters type of thing. So they're saying be involved in that type of stuff because whoever we vote into offices that hold this type of importance are they're important. So we need to take that type of thing seriously and be more involved and educated on who we choose for those positions. Oh, and then one thing too, I thought when I was watching it, I was man, this film is very reminiscent of The Big Short and it is the same director.
Oh my God.
I would say
so true.
I was watching, I was oh my God, I was thinking about how I liked the movie so far.
And they did those cuts to the narrator.
And everything about it was very reminiscent of The Big Short. And I was man, I wonder if this is directed by the same guy. So as I was watching it, I looked it up and it's directed by the same man, Adam McKay. Is that his name? And
yes, Adam. Yeah.
I really like Steve Carell's character.
I think
he was really funny. I think he did really a good job in that.
Well, because they were saying that the actual guy has that type of big personality already, and I think that casting Steve was a really good job too, because I think a lot of us see him as Michael Scott, so immediately when you hear him, you want to pay attention, you know. Yeah. So it helps you, even if you're starting to steer off course, when he comes on, you're like back on course.
And I think it was also reminiscent of The Big Short in the sense that how you even said
earlier.
Oh, he
was in that too.
Yeah, he was. I know. That's what I thought too. I was like, oh my God, how you were saying that it was like turning something that was boring into something entertaining. And that was also kind of what The Big Short did. It was something that was boring and that people don't really, I guess, necessarily care about, but then it made it into something interesting. It kind of, just made it more entertaining. And then one of the things I thought was so frustrating about this film too, was that I didn't like how it made it seem like the political sphere of politicians, that all of what they do is just like a game to them. And it's not something that they necessarily take seriously. And I feel like that's the vibes that I got from a lot of like the political characters in this movie, that they thought that, oh, like this is just a game. Like, let's see what we can do, like with all these people's lives kind of a thing. And I think that's also one of the reasons why I was so frustrated.
Yeah, I honestly kind of think it's like the American way, you know, we're such capitalists. Like it's a game. It's a monopoly.
Monopoly. And that's, and I just felt like everything, like just to me, this, I was like, everything's just so corrupt. I hate all politicians and whatever. Like, I don't really think any of them are very good. But then one thing I thought from the film, though, at least in Chaney's favor, was that he seemed like he was a good father. And I appreciated that.
Same.
For how, like, kind of everything else, he seemed evil. But at least he
was a good dad. I love those characters that that are the antagonist, but then you see that kind side of them. I always refer to this character in particular, it's Mystique from X-Men, because growing up, like, I loved her, and I like couldn't remember why. I mean, obviously I think she has the coolest like mutant powers out of the bunch, but I think it's because like when I would watch the cartoons, she was like technically on the evil side, right? She was like with Magneto and everything like that, but when she saw that something was really wrong, she would jump ship. And I just love that. I love that, like, she did it out of what she felt was right. And it's not like this one directional, this is right, this is wrong. It's very like, I choose this way, but I will see that sometimes this way isn't always the right way, and I will do what's right. So I love those types of characters who are like our pro or antagonist, but we also see that, nicer side.
Humanization of them a little bit. I was thinking, that's how I feel about a lot of the like Marvel villains. Like when with Thanos, whatever. I remember after we watched that film, I told Chase that I was like, man, like, I get it, he was the bad guy, but like, he had a point. Like, some of the things he was saying, I was like, I think just the way he went about trying to achieve his goals was what like the Avengers and all of them had a problem with. But
oh my gosh, who was I gonna say right now? I feel like Disney has seen that, because they tried to do that with Cruella, and that was kind of one of the few people that I was like, no. Did you watch that movie?
No, I didn't.
Okay, then I won't go on about that. I personally didn't like it.
Or even Maleficent. I seen that one.
Yes. Okay. Well, she's a little bit different, because how do I say this? Like, I felt like they were trying to take too much from Maleficent, where it was like, hey, actually she was great, but what happened to her is why she became evil. Mm-hmm. And I felt like they tried to do that with Cruella, and I just, and then at the very end, you're like, I don't know. Still doesn't make sense why she wanted to kill like 100 dogs.
Yeah, and skin them for their fur.
Yeah, but So I didn't really like that. I watched this show over this, like, it's still summer, but like over the summer. It's called The Man in the High Castle. It's on Amazon Prime. And there's like a specific evil character on there, and the same thing, he was like an amazing father and husband, but like he did horrible things. And then it made me kind of like feel for him, like maybe he did those horrible things for his family, you know. It's like Breaking Bad, right, with Walter. He's like, you're like, oh yeah, you do terrible things, but it's for your family. And I guess you kind of get that vibe from Dick, right, where it's like, you do horrible things, but you're a great dad, you're a great husband.
But that's the thing. I was like, that's what sucked. It's like, I hated him, but then it's like when he was with his, like, had his interaction with his children or whatever, then I was like, okay, like, you're not that terrible. But then I'm like, also, but that doesn't excuse all the other stuff that you're doing or whatever.
I mean, it's hard, right? They tell you to separate business from personal, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, technically, like, you know, if you're an asshole at work, it's just, you don't take that home with you. That's two different worlds, but unfortunately these two worlds do coincide. So
I hated him.
Be that way.
But I did think it was funny that, like, post like the credit scene where they made it seem like the, like, I think it was like halfway through the movie or something like that, where they started rolling their credits. Oh my God,
I love that part. That was my favorite part. Yes.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, if only. Yeah, I know.
But it's like perfect. It was like, I thought that that was the most comedic part of the movie. Like parts of it, I was like,
because if it would have ended at that, then it actually would have been like, okay, it's not that bad of a story, but then it just continues and yeah, stuff happens.
Something that like made me think about the whole politics scene in general is that like when I was watching it, I was like, is that what Dick looks like? Because I don't really remember him looking like that. I do remember him being really like white hair, like,
at all.
Like balding and like, and then I realized I was remembering John McCain. And it's like,
oh yeah, yes. same.
Yeah. And then it made me think like, holy crap, we all got like the same fucking looking guys out there doing this shit. So like, if you know me, like I'm thinking these two guys are the same people, like,
you know. No, totally. I think I'm with you on that one. I thought that that's what it was going to be about too. Actually, I feel like John McCain's Mike Pence, story,
like, you know, he's got the white hair too, white hair look going on as well. So
I think John McCain's story would be kind of interesting. I don't know if they do have a movie.
He's like a, he's also like a war hero, isn't he?
That's what I'm saying. I think it'd be more interesting because then we could see, like, I'd be interested to see all that about him.
Or whatever, do you remember when there was that controversy? Oh my God, what was it? I think his daughter just had a baby and then she started saying like, oh yes, there should be. Okay. Don't quote me on this. Like, I feel like this is it. We should look this up, but I think she was like, oh, she just had a baby. And she was like, yeah, there should be a longer maternity or like family leave or something like that. And everyone's like, oh, look, once again, a Republican, you know, wants to side with something we've been saying all these years after they have.
Yeah, because that's when it affects them. That's the thing. Yeah. That's my other thing. It's like, yeah, he was a good dad and like he wasn't against same-sex marriage, but I'm like, oh, it's because it affects you now. So it's like, that's why all the other things that they're against, it's because it doesn't affect them. So that's why they like usually vote for things that are, you know, whatever the hell, I can't talk, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's frustrating. I'm like, okay, so if it affects you, then you care. But if it doesn't, then you're like, oh, I don't give a shit about anything.
I know.
Oh yeah. Something says Meg, this article, I haven't read it or anything, but the headline,
the title.
Says, yeah, Meghan McCain learned about the need for maternity leave the hard way. Nobody should have to.
See, okay, I'm just glad I got like the thing right, because I was like, is it maternity leave? Is it like abortion? Is it? But I remember I obviously had to do something with like being,
I think,
a
she's
woman.
Like left The View recently too, or something like that. Like she was on The View,
that's
and
right.
She left it or something.
She
I don't know.
The View.
Let's learn some more deets about our guy here,
our guy Dick.
Also, I didn't realize he, like, I don't know. I guess I never imagined him having worked like an actual hard labor type of job.
Yeah, it was like lineman for something.
Lineman. Yeah. But he, I guess in reality, he wasn't actually a lineman.
I think he was.
He worked with the lineman, but he was actually one of the, I guess it was called groundmen, who they dug the holes in the ground for poles, I guess, or something, or lines. I don't effing know. And he would like hoist up.
I know. I'm thinking linemen. I'm thinking of like football players, right? Yeah. Or is that a foreman? No.
Linebacker.
Okay. Sorry.
Anyways, but yeah, I guess he didn't.
Are we cooler today, guys? Season 3, episode 1. Okay. So Richard Bruce Cheney was born in Lincoln, Nebraska to his father, Richard Herbert Cheney. I mean, it's like, oh, this wasn't like a thing the Bushes did, you know? It's like, seems like other families did that as well, where they have the same first name, different middle name.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, people do that all the time.
Oh, okay.
You don't know anyone that does that?
No, because Luis is a junior and him and his dad have the same first and middle name. Well, and last name, obviously. But then I thought that's the only way you could be a junior is if you have the same first and middle and last name. So his mom is Marjorie Lorraine. I don't know if she's French. You know, like when they described it on Wikipedia, he's just like a mixture of European people. So what most white people are in America. Mm-hmm. He's one of three children and he attended school in Nebraska before moving to Casper, Wyoming and attending high school there where he met Lynn. So I just thought Wyoming was so random. And then I was like, oh, he actually lived there. Anyways, Dick did attend Yale. And on Wikipedia, it says that he had problems adjusting and dropped out. On Yale Daily News, that also said that he was homesick and missed his girlfriend, Lynn, and was underconfident. And after 2 years, he was over it and dropped out. Mm-hmm. On biography.com, it says that he failed out twice. So what is the truth? Yeah. I always think of Oprah. You guys know that gift. Basically, I think this is like a personal thing because obviously we're getting kind of like mixed information here. I think that he did fail out because he was a homesick. I mean, in college, I did experience a lot of people being homesick and that affecting their grades and everything like that. But you know, I think because of his status as vice president, Yale and all these other sites, they didn't want to say he failed. They just wanted to give him that. Yeah, he dropped out because I think he had every potential to succeed. It was more so his homesickness that got to him.
Yeah, well, and I think it also had to do with his drinking as well, because one of the things I saw online was saying that, I guess this is in the book, actually, in his book, In My Time, A Personal and Political Memoir, Dick Cheney writes that while at Yale, he befriended some kindred souls, young men like me who were not adjusting very well to Yale, and shared my opinion that beer was one of the essentials of life. And then it says his drinking resulted in him flunking out.
Oh, yeah, so. Because like, yeah, what I researched was basically like, they couldn't put like two and two together. Mm-hmm. He did have two DWIs.
Yes.
Right. W or drinking while intoxicated. Yeah. So, he did get two DWIs, but they weren't putting two and two. They weren't saying like that was the reason. They didn't want to specify on like how hardcore, like where his hardcore partying had anything to do with his, academic mm-hmm. life in Yale. But they did say that Lynn gave him a lecture.
Stern talking to you?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Everyone needed, I mean, like on Wikipedia, it said that he realized he was heading down the wrong path. I'm like, oh, he realized it?
She had to tell him.
I know, right? But he did seem like he was like madly in love with Lynn, right? Because that's his high school sweetheart. I think they met when he was like 14. So, and then what I read as well is how he like missed her so much, you know? And on top of that, you see that like, well, actually, sorry. In the movie, you see he like really enjoys her company and he listens to her, and yeah. I think that they have
that's one thing too. I was like, I feel bond. Like she's, even though I don't agree with her views on a lot of things, I feel like as just a woman in general, she's pretty like cool in her achievements that she's done mm-hmm. in her life and whatnot, but her as a person, her political stuff, I'm like, no.
She's very much so like that saying, what do they say, something like the woman's the backbone or something like that.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, she's, I feel like that's totally oh, yeah, her definitely. And Dick's relationship. Mm-hmm. The one thing I read was that his family were excited that he was born on the same day as I believe FDR, and they supported the Democrats. But then I was kind of like remembering the fact that like Republicans and Democrats, like their views like fluctuated over the years. And I didn't get a chance.
But I mean, back in that time, they were pretty much where they're at now. I mean, I'm sure really? They're
in the 60s.
It's more extreme now. I'm
sure. Like, when was he born? Like freaking 30s or something like that? I don't know. No, it can't be 30s. Like it has to be like around the 50s.
But I think everyone, like even the Democratic people, I think were probably more conservative than they are now. Like,
yes, that's like kind of what things, I'm getting at.
Times are like definitely a change in mm-hmm. now. One of the things that I thought, I mean, it was kind of the main focus of the whole film, I think, in that like his like need for power. And I think it was brought up a lot, the unitary executive theory. So of course I was interested in this and wanted to look into it and kind of see.
I don't know if he felt like it was a need for power or if it was more like a career move. Does that, I guess like I was seeing it. Okay. Let me say this is because like how they went in that direction, if he became the CEO of Halliburton. So I was like, and then I felt like, you know, he only switched to becoming like the vice president or agreeing to that. Cause I feel like the whole time he felt like this is the path for his career. Cause he studied political science. He got a bachelor's and master's in political science and he started working in the White House. I think that like, you mm-hmm. think this is where my career should go. I don't know if it was like power.
I mean, that's how it was portrayed in the film, at least. Like, I feel like in the film, they portrayed him very much as like power hungry and him just wanting to not even be the one. Like, he didn't want, I mean, at least to me, how I interpreted the movie, he didn't want to be the president. He wanted to be the one who is telling the president what to do. Yeah. He just wanted to be behind the scenes. He didn't want to be like the face of anything. He wanted to be the one calling the shots secretly behind the scene or whatever.
Yeah. And like they did discuss, Yeah, him and his wife, like, they had a discussion about how, like, oh, the vice president doesn't do anything anyways. Like, he's just there for the president to die, you know? And then he was like, and then they kind of like switched the role, I guess. Yeah,
definitely. I think something I saw did say that he was kind of more like, he did change how the vice presidency like worked, because it was essentially was just someone who was just there. And he was he was more heavily involved than I guess like other vice presidents were at the time. But yeah, so the unitary executive theory was interesting to me because it seemed very just something as like a tool or device for him to use to get the power that he's wanting. So I went ahead and I looked into it to see if one, if it's a real thing, and then if he actually did use it, or, I mean, obviously they're not going to say, yes, we used this theory of this thing to get what we wanted. Okay. So what is the unitary executive theory? So the short form of this, because, you know, things start getting a little muddled when they start throwing all these terms in there and everything. And so this theory holds that Congress cannot limit the president's control of the executive branch because the Constitution sets up a hierarchical system of the Constitution. So essentially, from my understanding, this is basically saying that the president is at the top of the totem pole when making decisions. And yeah, so I think...
Doesn't it say something about how he's like, he's not wrong, or, you know?
Yeah, I think later on they said like, oh, it's like the legal thing. Like it's like the tort with the torture, how they were saying like, oh, well, if the president is doing it, then that means it's not that, or like basically, so whatever the president does, that means it's okay.
I think there was something I read about how like there was something where they kind of used it as example for like Nixon, because he obviously did something wrong. But then I think they said something like, but because of the terrorist attack, because of all of that, it's almost kind of like overlooked because there was actually something going on versus like Nixon. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, okay, you're just being shady.
Everyone was kind of in a frenzy too. So I think that's why it kind of might have gotten overlooked too, because everyone's like, what the hell? What do we do? But basically, so the conversation between Scalia, where he was like talking to Cheney, is like, oh, have you heard of the unitary executive theory or whatever? Yeah, and then Cheney is like, no, like, what is it? Which also I thought it was kind of funny that it's like, I don't know, to me, it seemed like Cheney wasn't, at least how he was presented in the film, wasn't even knew anything about like, at least to me, it seemed like he didn't know anything about politics and that he was just kind of like thrust into these types of jobs. But obviously he did know stuff because he, like you said, he had his degree, right, in political science.
Yeah, he had a BA and a
master's. And so I'm like, okay, but to me, it seemed like they made him seem like he was just like got lucky kind of a thing. But it's like, well, he did, like, that was his degree. But anyways, so the conversation that Scalia had with Cheney did not happen. And that, I guess, that is something that would have never happened because Scalia was more of a type of dude that was very by the books. He never interpreted the Constitution in a way that would help someone's, I guess, political gain or whatever. He was very much like, okay, this is what the Constitution says, so this is how we're going to like handle the situation based off of what the Constitution says. But even though this conversation did not happen, I kind of feel like Cheney was a guy who was trying to not seek as much power as he ended up having or whatever. He was just trying to think how to word it. He very much was, I guess, still trying to get as much power as he could to the presidency, but like in a way that wasn't like the way that they presented in the film.
I feel like what you're saying is like Scalia was more of like the black and white text.
Yeah.
And then Cheney was more of like, let me look for the loopholes.
Yes, that's how I do feel that way about this situation. I think, I mean, I don't know if that's exactly if he was seeking out the loopholes, but that's just how I'm like, I think he was, okay, how can I get as much power? And
I feel like that's politics, right?
That's true. Yeah.
That's how it goes. You're always reading the fine lines. You're always trying to see like where you can push the boundaries.
Yeah. And I just feel like, so after 9/11 is, I think, where this type of thing kind of really played into effect. They didn't call it that again. Like I'm saying, like, I don't even know if they were necessarily thinking that that's what they were trying to do, but Cheney and like the Bush administration as a whole definitely like embraced a broader definition of executive power, which this included using enhanced interrogation techniques, which we saw in the film, the waterboarding and all that stuff, ramping up the domestic surveillance, which was the Patriot Act, which I remember that too, that came. And then they also denied suspected terrorist trials. And he did talk about that last part. I was reading like a short little bit of an interview that he did. And he was saying that like, okay, he kind of related it back to like the Nazis in Germany. He was like, if you had German soldiers or Nazis or whatever as prisoners. You weren't going to give them a trial during World War II. You're going to wait until the war was over and then like do the stuff. So that's what he was kind of relating it to. And he said that basically the terrorist attacks was like war. So that's why they were doing those types of things. But still, I'm like, y'all were trying to do too much and get away. Like you said, they were trying to get away with a lot because of what they knew what was going on, and that they kind of could get away with it because people are afraid. They don't know what to, you know, they don't know what to believe, or not even what to believe, but I think things were kind of elevated in a way to make people more fearful of things that maybe they necessarily didn't have to be. Because even later on in the film, when we saw how they were just like doing those focus groups that we are going to talk about in a little bit as well.
Yeah. Well, obviously when an attack happens like that, the first thing we do is we look to our leader, right? Mm-hmm. Which is our president and vice president. So we're looking to them as to like what to do next, because we expect them to know what to do, right? Like we expect them to be capable of the job that we have asked them to do. And I think that
but our elected officials, as the end of the movie said.
yeah. And it's so crazy. Oh my gosh. I was going to say, like, I was like, I have to put this out there, but I remember being in class in history and they talked about basically something similar to what happened, you know, during the Bush administration and going into like basically war and all of that, and basically how we done it before and how it didn't work out, how it was like total bullshit, you know? And I remember like all of us were like, then why are we doing it right now? And the history teacher was like, because these guys who are in office are lawyers. They're not historians. They don't have anybody on their team as a historian. So they don't know that they're repeating history. And we're like, what? And I remember like
you go home crying after school that day. And your mom's like, what happened? Yeah. You're like traumatized.
I'm not gonna lie. Like ever since, I remember that very vividly because I like look at what they do. You know, I'm always like, oh, what did they do in their past life, right? Before they got into politics. And like, obviously no one's a historian, no one. And it's something I remember so vividly about like, what if we did have a historian? Like, what if we did have someone in like political science and history in office? Like, would they make the decisions necessary because they know what happened in history, you know, won't repeat it.
I mean, yeah, but I feel like once people get a certain amount of like power, then they just like, it all goes to their head and they're like blinded by it. And then it's not about what's in, like we said, the benefit of the people. It's more of like, what's the benefit of me and how can I further myself and where I'm going to go with this position that I have. And that's how they like make the decision based off of versus what's actually beneficial for their freaking people that freaking voted them into the freaking position in the first place.
Yeah. You kind of see Dick Cheney, like the way they portray him in the movie is that his goal in becoming vice president was, hey, I can finally push through the things like I want to push through, right? Like I finally am going to have the power to like get what I want happening. And then the attack happens and he immediately is like, we're at war, you know? And all of a sudden it's like, I don't give a shit of everything else. I'm like focused on how we can conquer like what is the attack, you know, fight back basically. And even like I watched an interview of him recently and they asked him about the enhanced interrogations, you know, and they kind of were like, don't you think they were a little too harsh? And he was like, no, they worked. Like we got the information we needed. And it's just like crazy to me too. It's kind of like, you see how almost being in a place of that much power, it does take away your human side. You have to in a sense, and it's sad, but
it's because they're so far removed from it. You know, what their decisions that they've made, they don't have to see what the repercussions of those decisions are because it's not around them. Like they're not amongst us average folks. So they don't see how it affects anybody. Yeah. So they don't give a shit.
Yeah. And then another part in that movie just shows the difference too, is when he finally got like that little office, that basement office, and he called his wife, was like, I made it, you know?
Yeah.
And there's that moment where you're like, that's so cute. Cause like, we've all been there where we finally get to a spot where we're happy about, we're like, I did it, you know? And then all of a sudden you see him in his role as vice president and he's like whining and dining and like, yeah, it's like all of a sudden you went from this like shoebox basement office like thrilled to be there to like whining and dining and not giving a shit of how many fucking people's lives have been lost, you know, over your decisions. his oil company. Well, so Halliburton. So that's the, he was the CEO of Halliburton, right? And it is a oil and engineering company, and they had contracts in Iraq. I don't know if you remember this, but I do. I remember this as well, right? The one of the biggest things that happened after 9/11 was the gas prices spiked. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure your parents have said it where they're like, I remember when gas was like 98 cents.
Yeah.
And you're like, are you being real? Like, you know, it's like my whole life, it's been $4. So
at least in California it has.
Oh, that, yes. Yeah. But no, but for real, like I literally tried really hard to think back into my brain. Did I ever see 98 cents on the board, you know, whenever my parents were driving? And I guess you don't pay attention to it because it was never a big deal. Yeah. So what Dick Cheney was doing was that he was the CEO of Halliburton. So he was running that company, right? The chief executive officer. The thing that's so shady about it is that while he was in office, he was continuing asking Halliburton to provide supplies for the army out in Iraq. They didn't have a contract because Iraq did have a contract, or sorry, not Iraq. Halliburton did have a contract with the oil companies, but then I didn't research that, but I'm not sure what happened. But then Dick Cheney continued to basically provide them with work. So I guess they went from like the 22nd most profitable company in 2000 and early 2000s, but by 2004, they were like number three. So they by 2004, right? That's still early 2000s. And if we're thinking when they got into office, that was like 2001, 2000. So in like those 4 years, like they went from 22nd to like third.
Yeah.
Obviously, Dick Cheney had a hand in that. And Dick Cheney was getting paid out as well. He didn't have an official contract with them, but they were kind of paying him like a bonus, you know, I guess, as I read it. So he was making sure that they were well-funded. They were, you know, the people supplying everything. They were the top company that they were utilizing. And on top of that, he was getting paid out and he had shares. I'm like, what's the stock term? He was able to buy shares from them, so he was able to kind of continue to profit over them, even if it wasn't through these things, it would at least be through the stocks. So anyways, I didn't read it into like how they correlate with invading Iraq. Like Bush and Dick, obviously they made that decision because they wanted to exterminate their enemies.
That's how it was presented in the film. They made it seem like they just chose Iraq to have like a name for something. It was like more of like, okay, Al-Qaeda, which is, that's just like a group of people, right?
Yes,
we're at war with Al-Qaeda, but like people, like the general person didn't understand Al-Qaeda as like an entity.
I knew what you meant.
They're like, we need an actual something for people to like understand and grasp better. So they're like, okay, then let's say it's Iraq is the one that we're going to go to war with then. And they didn't, I guess at the time though, something with Iraq and Al-Qaeda, like I think Al-Qaeda, they were like in, I think they were in Iraq or something, but
I think like I the guess president
the Saddam Hussein or whatever wasn't really involved with Al-Qaeda. Like I think they were, did have some type of affiliation at one point, but this was like years and years and years before any of this shit happened. And then Saddam Hussein like kind of cut ties with Al-Qaeda and wasn't really involved, but because that's like a tangible thing that people could understand, they're like, let's just go with that. And so that's
I remember that too, because as a kid growing up in this, and I was constantly like, who are we fighting? Like, what is even going on?
There's too many like names and stuff like that. So you're like uncertain really. And I think with this whole thing with the Halliburton thing, people are saying like, well, he only wanted to invade Iraq because it benefits his oil company to like invade them, basically. So they're like, was that his motivation for doing it or whatever? I mean, of course he's not going to say,
Yeah, I know. It's really hard to say. I mean, he did make a lot of money out of all of this. So
yeah. Well, one thing that I saw though online was that saying that there might be a little bit of merit to that type of thing, only because before all this happened, so like I said, how Saddam Hussein and all that and Iraq and all that, I guess years before he was even vice president, like years and years and years and years ago, I guess there was another time where we were supposed to invade Iraq or whatever and go to war with all of them and Saddam Hussein and all that stuff. And originally he was against it. So this is before he was the CEO or whatever the hell of Halliburton. And during that time he was against invading or whatever Iraq and all that stuff. But then after he became the CEO and like left and then was vice president, then he was all for it. So that's why people were like, oh, is that like, is that why you're whatever is like saying we should invade them? Because you all these ties and everything. And now your opinion's changed on from what it was before.
Yeah. But like, you have to also think people change over the years too.
Yeah. People's opinions definitely do change. Yeah. So just speculation, I guess, of people and kind of finding little clues throughout history, as we say, or just like linking things that people have done to the past and are from.
I mean, they do that still to this day, exactly. Right? Like Billie Eilish.
Oh my God. Yeah. All that stuff that's going on.
I understand why they had to put like a country's name on it, because even as a kid, like we saw the Vietnam War, right? Korean War, even World War II was with Germany. Like we know there's like some country that we're fighting against. And then it's like you hear Iraq, like Afghanistan. It's like, okay, what's going on? So then we had, did Dick Cheney cause ISIS? And I think that's also kind of subjective as well, because like, right, they made these executive decisions to do this, like bomb this and bomb that, and then all of a sudden, so I can't pronounce his name, but
what a hard time trying to pronounce his name. So
I was like, I was like, Alec, can you like put it right here or something? But basically what happened is like just the events that happened through Bush and Cheney's decision making caused someone to kind of like make this group ISIS. I mean, ISIS like was already around, but kind of like the bad ISIS, I guess. And so they kind of want to say like, oh, Dick Cheney caused it because I would say, I don't think that he did. I think that, you know, I don't think you can just like start a group after like, you know, I don't know. I guess like the terrorist attack started something.
Right? Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that, you know, you've got to kind of have a little more background in that before you start like a group like ISIS.
I mean, what the movie was also implying is because he was so focused, Bush administration was so focused on what was going with like focused on invading Iraq and dealing with Saddam Hussein, they lost track of the person that was like actually kind of more at fault, I guess, maybe, I don't know. But, and because of that, he was basically like, it's like while the cat's away, the mice will play type of a deal. So their attention was over here. So then let's start getting our shit together over here and preparing for this other shit we're going to do or whatever. And so I think that's kind of what happened there. And then also something about saying the guy's name on TV so many times like caused him to be like a star basically amongst his people. Also helped with all that too. Like you said, it was already a thing before all this happened. I think they basically saw the opportunity to become more of a group or whatever, or become more established because of this stuff happening. So then they just took that and
ran with it.
Are now what they are because of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about these focus groups that we kind of discussed earlier. So this is one thing that really pissed me off while watching these movies, because I guess I was just naive or something and did not realize that political people use focus groups to kind of figure out and sway people's idea of things to kind of move their agenda forward or whatever, right? So I had to look that up and see if it was real, and it's really a thing that they do. So it just seems super manipulative to me. Like you're manipulating your people, and it's just like I just don't agree with that. Like,
I mean, they do it in like marketing all the time.
I know. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I was like, but I also don't like all those things either. So, it's just all wrong. And like, it really pissed me off when they were doing the estate tax thing, they're like, so who the estate tax or whatever, like it only affects people who have an estate of $200 million. And like, who does this affect? And then one guy raises his hand and they're like, okay, so what if we call it, the death tax now? Who do you think, like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then everyone raises their hand. I'm just like, wow, they really like manipulate mother effas out here.
It's like technically a marketing focus group, you know,
but it's just crazy. Yeah. And like one of the articles I found about Bush kind of talking about focus groups, he was kind of saying like, he was saying it in a way like, oh, we don't use focus groups in my administration. But then we're like, you do actually, you definitely do. Maybe you're not aware that they do, but they are for your administration.
It makes sense to use focus groups. I feel like you can't.
It makes sense, but I hate
use,
it. Okay?
I know. You can't use the people in the room like as their the opinion. You have to kind of find the third party. But
I just don't like the way that they use that information to turn things more like, I don't know. It just feels to me like it's like icky. It just feels like they're using it in a way to make further their like own agenda and sway people in a way that'll make them be more agreeable to the things that they're doing. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't like that. But I was going to say that, I mean, the Bush administration isn't alone in doing this. Like all political people do this. Everyone, our own, I'm sure the people we voted for do this shit too. And it's just, I don't like it.
Even the movies you watch, they'll show exactly. it to like a test mm-hmm. group, right? Exactly. Like depending, cause like they always say like the alternate ending, and it's sometimes because like it didn't test well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. Yeah,
exactly. And I think that's what another article I was reading was talking about. They said that the political figures and entertainment, like Hollywood, are like have taken these like focus groups and like ran with them and like used them. Like they've basically, what is it? They've become like masters at doing this type of thing with these focus groups. So a lot of administrations or political figures, they'll use focus groups and along with polls and, mm-hmm. you know, like the polls that people talk about all the right. time in the news. But a focus group is different from a poll that an administration or political figure like puts out, because with polls, they typically reflect the, like what's and how much is of a given issue. And a focus group reflects the whys of an issue. So they're kind of get down to like, why do you feel this way? And then they like warp people to make it them feel a different type of way. So focus groups also, I guess, first came out on the scene to, they use them to test the effects of army training and propaganda films during World War II. And then like we already said, political figures or administrations or whatever, and as well as Hollywood took it and just kind of ran with it. So lastly, let's talk about, we already kind of talked about Cheney and his relationship with his daughters and how we kind of liked that. That was kind of, to me at least, the only likable quality of Cheney was his love for his daughters. And just, yeah,
I think wife, we can't, you know,
she seemed more cold to me though.
No, but he loved her.
Oh yeah. I think okay. like with her, with the daughters.
I just meant that he loved all these women in his life, right? Yeah.
When the daughter came out and he just kind of immediately accepted her and just said that, you know, he loves her regardless. And he just loved her for who she was.
I was going to say, the thing is that, even when you watch Dick Cheney on like any video, even on the news, he does kind of come off as cold. And even mm-hmm. Christian Bale kind of portrayed that as well, as like the way he even talked, it's so like slow. I guess it's a Wyoming thing, right? Because they always say that the Wyoming people kind of have this like slow mm-hmm. dialogue and very short, just kind of gives you whatever answer, like doesn't go drag it out. And I think that's why even in the movie they showed how he kind of attempted to run and he'd always kind of fail, like the people didn't really like him because
he wasn't like personable or
anything. Exactly, he doesn't mm-hmm. have that personality. And so you see that and you think that maybe he's a cold family person, but he's not. And it's like him and his family, they love each other. So yeah, it's like when you see him on Before You Know About His Family, like even when I was a kid, I was like, he kind of sounds like
definitely.
A-
but like, he definitely has like, a love for his family. And it's mm-hmm. very evident. So saying, so like when his daughter came out, you know, he immediately accepted her. And then he even like supported the things that affected her, like we already talked about. So he supported like gay marriage and basically made it a point to like, whatever he did politically, like that's one thing I'm not going to like back down from, kind of a thing. Like, I'm going to make sure like, you know, that I, you know, have my, I'm looking out for my daughter in that regard, right?
Well, I saw like when they asked him about gay marriage, he kind of said like, it's not, it's a state thing. Like each state needs to make that decision. It's not although he like does support gay marriage, he doesn't think it's kind of a decision that needs to come from like head honcho, like
but like him personally, that's like something that he wasn't going to have a part of like his, what is it? Political
platform. But then I think it's kind of like a cop out, you know what I mean? It's like, hey,
definitely.
I'm just gonna say, like, I'm kind of saying I don't want to piss off my family, but I also don't want to piss off people. Kind of say this answer of like each state.
But he did get a lot of flack for it throughout his political career because of his personal stance against it, though, too. A lot of people didn't like that, but he wasn't gonna back down from that, which I'm like, okay,
he wasn't the guy to like fight for it.
He did I think support certain gay marriage things though. So when his daughter Liz opposed, so we saw that in the film, when his daughter Liz was kind of running for, I think it was mm-hmm. She was running for her congressional run, it seemed like Cheney kind of gave her the okay to like reverse, not reverse, but like to say that she was in not in support of same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. And I guess in the film, it kind of made it seem like Chaney himself was also reversing his ideals or what he thought or what he stood for when it came to gay marriage, just in order for like his daughter, Liz, to kind of succeed in her career. Obviously, this is more complicated than, like we're saying, it's complicated because it's like business and his personal life kind of both interwoven right here, right now. In reality, it was more a matter of respecting each daughter's different viewpoints while still supporting their aspirations. And this is a quote. "This is an issue we have dealt with privately for many years, and we are pained to see it become public," the Chaney said in a statement. "Since it has, one thing should be clear. Liz has always believed in the traditional definition of marriage. Over the years, Dick Chaney has himself confirmed his support for same-sex marriage. First making his stance public in the 2000 vice presidential debate, he drew criticism from conservatives in 2009 over his comments at the National Press Club in Washington. Another quote, "I think people ought to be free to enter into any kind of union they wish, any kind of arrangement they wish," he said with regard to gay marriage. "Freedom means freedom for everyone."
I think like having support from your family and then all of a sudden almost them turning their backs on you just in a support of somebody's career, I think is kind of a, like I said, it's kind of, it's not a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
It makes you feel like they care more about someone's career than their somebody else's life. They did an interview, they asked her recently, like, "Oh, how are you and Liz?" And she's like, "I don't have a comment on that." And it's like, I feel like it was a biopic though. You know, it was,
I think it was definitely more they used him as a way to like have some type of commentary on.
Yes. It's like more informational and like, you know, with a comedic. Yeah. Oh, you know what we didn't talk about was when Dick freaking shot somebody. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, we can talk about it. He did.
Well,
he
shot somebody. I forgot to look that up too.
Because I did read something about it, but basically, yeah, like he did shoot the guy. I forget his name's Whittington or something like that. He did shoot the guy, and the guy did apologize. But I guess it was
the guy apologized.
He did, because I guess like there was during that time, you know, people were giving Chaney a lot of shit, and they were like, he was basically the butt of a lot of jokes or whatever. Oh. Which I mean, rightfully so. But I guess people were saying it's not true that he didn't like feel any remorse about it though. And that I don't think he publicly apologized, but I think he might've privately apologized, because there was an interview and he was just talking about like how bad he felt about the situation and how he like recalls that day. And he remembers like his friend, like him and that guy were like really good friends. And like the way the guy's his, like when he fell after getting shot or whatever, he's like, that like image like lives on in my mind. And like, basically like he just felt really bad about the whole thing. But I think it's just because he didn't do anything like super public like the other guy did. So I think that's why people gave him a lot of shit. And the fact that the guy apologized in the first place. One thing I wanted to mention quickly too was about the part in the film where he was on the phone and they were saying, he like said that they could shoot down any planes that they felt were like a threat or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, and I guess, so it's not, we're not saying that it's true that he said that, but they can just shoot down any plane that they think is like a threat or whatever, but it's like, they're not saying that it's not true, because there are records of Chaney and Bush talking to each other, like written records of it, and that they did authorize like shooting down of a plane, but they didn't say like civilian plane. They were just like there was a plane at some point that they authorized someone to shoot down, mm-hmm. but like, they're like, it couldn't be something else or like whatever, like didn't necessarily have to be a civilian plane. So there is a little bit of truth to it, but it's like nothing concrete that they can say, yeah, that happened. It was just like mm-hmm. kind of things that some notes someone in both parties took. There is a lot of stuff. I mean, there is also like, there's just a lot of things that were kind of based in a truth. Like there was a small kernel of truth to it, but like, it's like, there's a bigger story to it and it wasn't actually what happened kind of a thing. And even the director like said like, yeah, this isn't a movie that I'm saying is completely true. Like, of course, yeah. His job is to kind of entertain people, not to spit facts all the time, you know? So,
well, again, if he did, it would be kind of a boring movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I was like thinking about when I was watching this is that how much they kind of portray George Bush as this like puppet and like, you know, just kind of this character, and that Dick was this puppet master.
Yeah, that is one thing that Chaney's people really they dispute the whole freaking film basically, but they dispute the fact that Cheney was kind of like how you said the puppet master of Bush or whatever, because they were saying that he like really respected Bush and knew that he was the one that was in charge or whatever. So like he would never like do anything like that and blah, blah, blah.
Any other thoughts on our man Dick?
No.
Other than that, he is definitely his namesake.
Thanks for joining us this week on The Internet Historians. If you enjoy this episode, make sure to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and give us a rating. We would also love to connect with you, so give us a follow on Instagram, where we give you like sneak peeks, little clips of our recording of these podcast episodes. And yeah, next week we'll be discussing Richard and Mildred Loving from the movie Loving. So don't forget to tune in. Thanks again. And we will see you next week. And hopefully Alec will be here with us. Yeah.
Hopefully.
But yeah, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.